happening?
How's it going, JT? Happy to have you on here. We've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. So happy that you're able to shoot us a message a couple of weeks ago, because you got so much great stuff going on. Of course, you're writing songs. We just played Somewhere in My Car by Keith Urban and Smile by Uncle Cracker. I know that you'll like that. And also, you got the great new book coming out, or that is out.
Yes, yes. Hello, Northern Michigan. If you're in your car, honk your horn. If you're at work, come on your desk. And if you're lying on the couch, dance on your back. This is JT Harding. You don't know my name, but I've written a bunch of country hits. I am from Michigan, and I'm so glad to be on the radio. Yeah, I have a brand new book out called Party Like a Rock Star. I've written hits for Darius Rucker, Uncle Cracker, Kenny Chesney, Dierks Bentley, Blake Florida Line, Rascal Urban. I can't even remember them all. I put every single story about how I came up with the title, how I wrote the song, how I got them on the radio. It's all in my book, Party Like a Rock Star, available everywhere. And man, I'm from the great state of Michigan. What's not to like?
Yeah, exactly. And how does that start even happen? You talked about this in your book. You know, the first thing you say in some of your promotional stuff, you didn't know anybody in the music business, so it's not like you got the start there. You end up, you're from Grosse Pointe. You make your way out to L.A. and eventually Nashville. How does that happen?
Yes, I was adopted as a child by incredible parents, Larry and Kendra Harding. They met at Michigan State, and my dad was a big football guy. I grew up in Michigan. You know, as I said, grew my hair long. I loved watching MTV, but they always encouraged me to be myself, so I'm so, so very lucky. I looked on the back of all my CDs. It said Los Angeles. I went out there. I didn't know anybody. I made my first demo tape, true story, with money I made when I won the game show VH1 Rock and Roll Jeopardy. I annihilated the competition because I was studying Rolling Stone magazine when everyone else was studying the science book. So I have the demo tape, Brad. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody. I don't know where to go with it, but I knew a girl who had a roommate that worked at FedEx. So I borrowed the FedEx jacket. I was, you know, 18 years old, living on the most glamorous corner of Hollywood. I took the FedEx jacket, and like Luke Skywalker sneaking into the Death Star with the Force, I went into every single record company, passed every single security guard, and bing, 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 put my demo tape into every mailbox in Los Angeles. And if you think that didn't get me noticed, kids, guess again. The cops were after me for weeks, but it did get me noticed. I had a record deal that fell through. You know, my heart's been broken more than the ice cream machine at the McDonald's in Gaylord, thanks to the music business. But I kept persevering. I kept writing songs. And all this failure led me to hits. And that's why I wrote the book, because I didn't know anybody in the music business. And if there's anyone out there that, you know, is having failure, that does love music, that's trying to figure it out, this is the book for them. And it's, you know, it includes a lot about the 80s and a lot about Michigan. I toured the world with a crazy rock star. It's all in there.
Yeah, a little bit of everything is in there. It's amazing because, yeah, when I got started with the book, I had heard a little bit about you leading into it. And I'd started with the book and I was like, oh, yeah, I know he did some things. And everything that's in there from, yeah, going to L.A., touring with rock bands, touring with Linkin Park to moving to Nashville, and then, yeah, now you're writing a bunch of hit songs. But I want to continue on with your family there, because your adoptive parents in Grosse Pointe there were, you know, I heard in your book, huge, you know, sports fans, huge football fans. Then here you were watching MTV and everything. So talk about them supporting you, even if you didn't always mesh up entirely with what they were interested in.
Well, they just said, listen, as long as you know, do your schoolwork, which I'll be honest with you, I didn't do a lot of it.
Just
I just
enough.
Kind of faked it. They just, you know, my dad worked for WXYZ, a talk radio station, and WRIF was next door. So he would go over to WRIF and say, I'll trade you my Detroit Lions tickets for concert tickets. So my dad just knew that I loved music, so he just would encourage me. I went to see Ozzy Osbourne with special guest Motley Crue. People were throwing chairs, throwing their bras, explosions, breaking guitars. Ozzy was like, you know, the devil himself, people thought. Explosions, the loudest experience of my life. We were down in the fourth row because the radio station gave my dad such great tickets. I was in about the fourth or fifth grade. The concert is over. I'm covered in confetti. And I look next to me, and my dad was sound asleep. So I had to nudge him and say, Dad, the concert's over. And he was like, it was a different time, so I say this with love. My dad looked around and took a deep breath, and he said, what a bunch of wild Indians.
And then, man.
So they just encouraged me. I put bands together. I was so loud. I was so bad. But like I said, they just drove me to the gigs. My mom, of course, had a complete heart attack when I moved to L.A., but I had to do it. I just had it, something in me. I wanted to be on MTV. I wanted to be on the radio. Nothing was going to stop me. And that's the kind of, you feel invincible when you're a kid, you know, but that's what it takes, I guess. I'm still trying. I don't have a Luke Bryan hit yet, you know, there, Brad. I'm still trying.
That's right. And, you know, hopefully eventually we can get you the inspiration to make that happen. But, you know, one of the things I love.
This is a new song called The Boring DJ. Oh, sorry, Brad. Just kidding. By the way, Chris Jansen, if you're listening, are you going to fix a drink or take a drunk girl home? You're confusing us. Okay, thank you. Let's continue.
All right, so you messed with my train of thought there now. You've gone from, and one of the things I love most from your book, one of the stories that I found was so awesome is that, you know, you started, you know, the typical middle class living there in Grosse Pointe. You go from there. Yeah, you mentioned not so great, maybe lowest of the lows of spots living with when it comes to L.A. to the point where you were eating. One of the things I loved is you were eating tuna fish essentially out of a bag.
Well, yeah, so I always had jobs at movie theaters, at record stores, but yeah. I didn't have any money because in California there are no basements. I put a band together, but no one has a basement to jam in, so we had to move into our rehearsal room. I went down to the grocery store. I bought a loaf of bread the size of, you know, a water ski, a big thing of no-name mayonnaise, and a big thing of no-name tuna fish, and we put the tuna fish and the mayonnaise in a clean garbage bag, shook it up, took the shelves out of our refrigerator, and put that in there, and then anytime I was hungry, you know, watching Cheers on TV or whatever, I would just take two pieces of bread and scoop out some of that tuna fish. I mean, it was kind of like going to college, but, you know, we weren't going to class. So, you know, I was trying to figure out how to write songs, you know. John Belushi would have been proud, yeah.
I went to college. I didn't go to class either, so it was about the same thing.
kids, listen, don't go to class, and you can work for minimum wage at a Northern Michigan radio station. I'm an applause. By the way, congrats on your upcoming marriage. I hope you walk down the aisle to my song Smile. Thank you very much.
Natalie's got it written down. Don't you worry. That's going to be the case. She had that written down to see, you know, we thought you were coming to sing it. That was actually what our thought was.
But, yeah, apparently Uncle Cracker was unavailable. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I messaged him first. You know, he was over in Long Lake just by us here. And yeah, just, you know, he said no. He said to send it to the songwriter. That maybe
exactly,
he would do
exactly.
it. Yeah.
I can't thank the country fans listening enough, because you can't have hit songs without country music fans and radio stations that play the song. So thanks to all the country fans, and thanks to you as well, Mr. Brad.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. And of course, we need to thank you, because you know what? All the hits that I get to play and that we get to listen to are coming from you. So let's talk about writing those songs, because, you know, there's a bunch of different ways, I'm sure, to write a song when it comes to the process of people who maybe just kind of get inspiration from somewhere. Somebody who's going to sit down, know what they're going to write for, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours a day. So tell me a little bit about your process of how, you know, these songs come to you.
That's true. And if you're just tuning in, I put all this in my brand new book, Party Like a Rockstar, available anywhere you get books, in a store or online. So listen, songwriting is cheaper than therapy. That's all I can say. I usually come up with maybe a title or a guitar riff first. And I really play guitar very basic. I don't know the names of the chords. I can't read music. But I've always just loved songs that are catchy, and I've always tried to put together catchy songs. Mm-hmm. And I wrote Different for Girls for Dierks Bentley. That was kind of a conversation I overheard, this girl who went through a breakup. But she didn't stop going to work. She didn't stop showering and playing video games all day like I do when I go through a breakup. That's where that came from. Somewhere With You was another breakup song. Beers and Sunshine that I wrote with Darius Rucker, true story, I had the title, The Only BS I Need is Bikinis and Sunshine, but we co-write a lot down here. Darius said, what if it was Beers and Sunshine? And I love that title better. He said, let's make it more universal. You know, Darius Rucker is not a superstar by accident. Right. This person, he's very smart. And so, I write down titles, I put them in my phone. Sometimes it's the title first, sometimes it's the melody, sometimes it's a little piece of an idea. If you're a songwriter, also here's another thing. I wrote the song Sangria with my friend Josh Osborne and Trevor Rosen, who's in Old Dominion. Josh had the title Sangria, and a bunch of other people had turned it down. But when he said, I have this song idea called Sangria, I jumped out of my chair, because I see the word Sangria written on all the chalkboard menus in Little Italy when I go to visit New York, and I just think it's such a sexy word. So it's funny how you can, some people think it's not a good idea, and other people think it's a hit. I mean, the songs are just kind of out there in the air. You just have to kind of jump up and try to grab them, you know?
Talking with JT Harding, a hit country music songwriter. He's got his new book out, Party Like a Rockstar. Whether you're interested in songwriting or not, it's a great book for you. You're going to get the great stories from JT's life, plus also you offer some great tips to people who may think about writing songs. I mean, the last, almost seems like the last pretty much half of your book, you are talking directly with songwriters.
Yes, and I break it down really easy. Like I said, it's not about the names of the chords or anything. Let me just put it this way. My brother Lance was a four-year freshman at Michigan State. He was a tackling dummy for the football team. He goes by his Native American name in the book, Dances with Budweisers. When he read the book, he said, I think I can write a song now. And I thought, man, if you can do it, anybody can. this is going to be a hit. Yeah, so all the songs, the stories, and the book opens, and I don't want to give too much away, but I kind of want to as well.
Right.
I met Keith Urban in a men's room in Nashville. I'd never known him before, but I was in the men's room washing my hands, and I had heard through the grapevine that he liked my Kenny Chesney song, Somewhere With You. So, of course, I waited for him and introduced myself to him, and we ended up writing Somewhere in My Car like a year later. So that story opens the book, and that's fantastic. I mean, I've been hanging around the men's room ever since, but I haven't met any other stars, unfortunately.
You know, you'll keep getting there. There's still plenty of time left for you to figure that one out.
That doesn't happen in the Traverse City men's room as much. You know, I hung around the men's room at Streeter's. All I met was a couple of Uncle Cracker fans.
That's all you're going to find. So what is it about, you know, because you grew up, in your book, you talk about you grew up, you know, listening to, you know, hard rock. When you went to went to L.A., that's what you went to. You became a little bit more pop as you got older, and now you're writing country music. So what is it about country music that maybe works with your writing style or where you're at in life?
What a great question, Brad. I think it's the lyrics, and it's nothing I had to change. When I lived in L.A., I was kind of, you know, stuck at the intersection of Bret Michaels' hairpiece and Eddie Vedder's flannel. Mm-hmm. You know, I love heavy metal, but I can't play guitar like that. Grunge changed the world, but I'm not as angry as those guys and girls. But when I was living in L.A., the Counting Crows came out, Sheryl Crow, Hootie and the Blowfish, and then I heard The Dance by Garth Brooks because I was working at a record store. I heard Vince Gill, and I thought, oh, wow, you know, the country motto is three chords and the truth. So basically, I play three very simple guitar chords that anyone can play, and I just put details of my life or my thoughts about, you know, whatever, breakups and cars and beers and sunshine. So I think, people say my songs are like three-minute movies, so I think it just works in country. I also try to be very authentic because I know that country fans are very smart, so I don't say, hey, I'm down in Georgia with the crickets and the frogs, because I didn't live like that. You know, camping to me is room service, ends at midnight. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. So I've tried to be authentic. Like, that's why I wrote Different for Girls. That's why I wrote Sangria instead of Corn Makes the Whiskey, because you really need to know the details to have an authentic song, if that makes sense. So if you're a songwriter out there, just be true to yourself and tell your own story, and that's what really people really react to.
Yeah, and you can learn all about it in JT's book, Party Like a Rockstar. It is fantastic. It's funny. It's smart. Everything you could want, whether you're a songwriter or not. Another thing that you mentioned a lot, and you mentioned it actually a couple of minutes ago, is co-writing. A lot or all of your songs, actually, you're not writing by yourself. You like to work with others.
Yeah, in Nashville, I didn't even know about co-writing. I had a few record deals. I wrote all the songs by myself. I still do write some songs by myself. But, two heads are better than one. Two hit ideas are better than one. Mm-hmm. We co-write in Nashville every day, and it's great. I write with some of my best friends. We laugh. We go to lunch. We Zoom, you know, and talk about the world, each other's families. And it's great because you can bring in a song idea like I brought. The only BS I need is Bikinis and Sunshine. Darius Rucker just instantly saw it in a different way, and he flipped it. Or my friend Josh, his idea for Sangria was, you came over and drank all my sangria, but then we thought, would a dude really do that? So then we flipped it around to, your lips taste like sangria. So it's really great to write with other people because your ideas just take on a whole nother life. And especially, I've been so fortunate that these songs have been gigantic hits, and it's so fun to call your buddies on the phone and say, oh my gosh, this song is really taking off. Isn't this a blast? So it's really great. And then somewhere in my car, I wrote with Keith Urban. And listen, it's always fun to be around a celebrity. You know, anyone who says it's not is either lying or never has been. It's great to be around someone famous. It's just kind of fun.
So is there still someone on the bucket list that you haven't written with?
Oh, a million people. I would love to write with Bruce Springsteen, but he doesn't need my help. I love country music. I'd love to have a Carrie Underwood song or a Luke Bryan song, or even some of the biggest artists in the world write a song with Adele or Katy Perry. There's so many. I mean, every time I turn on the radio, I'm like, oh, wow, what is this? Every day there, I seem to hear a new song that kind of lights me up, you know?
Yeah.
And I do love all the 80s bands, like, you know, Poison and Rat and Motley Crue. It'd be so fun to write with some of those guys. You never know.
You never know where things are going to end up taking you. So, obviously, you've done a whole lot. At what point did you kind of realize, you know, I think I want to write all this down. I want to write a book about all this.
Yeah, great question, Brad. We play songwriter shows down here a lot. I've done quite a few in Michigan where we play our hits. We tell the stories behind them. And there was a lady in the audience that I didn't know who she was. I'd never met her before. Her name was Dana Perino, and if you know her name, I guess you know her name. She's actually a very famous newscaster. Has nothing to do with me. I have no agenda in telling anyone that. I'm just telling you what happened. And she said, I saw this guy play at the Listening Room, and he should put a book out. And people started calling me, and so I just started putting my life story mixed with these hit songs, and a bunch of book companies called, and it's fantastic. And on the cover of the book, Party Like a Rockstar, you'll see me smashing a guitar in the eighth grade. I have leg warmers on, bandanas, ripped clothing. I hate attention, as you can tell.
Sure.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And also, I got to do the audiobook. Apparently, you know, Morgan Freeman wasn't answering their calls. So I did the audiobook. So if you want to listen to it on a long romantic walk to the refrigerator or you know, in your car, the audiobook to Party Like a Rockstar, people tell me is even better than the book. So there you have it.
Yeah, you get it because you get your straight up narration of it. So it definitely feels like, because it's a book coming straight from you, it works out really well while I was making my drives to and from work every day to be able to listen to that book.
Well, we didn't think you were a big reader, Brad. We listened to you on the radio, you know what I'm saying? You definitely married up. I know your fiance's family, yeah.
Exactly, and that's where I was actually going to lead you to is, you know, you mentioned a guy named Captain Greg who's in your book. You went to see him. He lives down in the Virgin Islands. Now, believe it or not, so that is my fiance's uncle, and you know all of my fiance's family there. But I've actually never met Greg in the nearly 6 years I've been with Natalie. So I believe I'm gonna see him at the wedding next month. I'm gonna, you know, be down there with him. What do you got for me on Greg?
Well, Greg is fantastic. So Greg is my childhood friend. He moved to the Virgin Islands after college and never came back. And here's a fun story for you country fans. One thing about songwriting is I've learned you have to take a lot of breaks. You can't be at input all the time. So I went down to the Virgin Islands where Greg lives. The last thing on my mind was writing a song. And Greg loves Kenny Chesney. I don't know if he's ever met him or anything. So I'm down there in the Virgin Islands just relaxing. There are bars on islands that you can only get to by boat down there. The water is crystal clear and as warm as a bathtub. And we went to one of these bars called the Soggy Dollar. Your dollars are soggy because you have to jump off the boat and wade up onto the beach. I see the sexy bartender with the braided hair and the pirate shirt. There's a speaker in a palm tree playing Bob Marley. All the boats are like a floating parking lot, and it just hit me like a lightning bolt. I said, I have to write a song about this place. And I kept telling Captain Greg, I wrote Bar at the End of the World that Kenny Chesney ended up recording. So how funny that my childhood friend, who's a Kenny Chesney fanatic, I went on a vacation with him and ended up writing a song that Kenny Chesney recorded. I make it sound easy, but believe me, it's not easy to do that. Kenny Chesney has a lot of people he can get songs from. So Captain Greg is the best. You know, he's kind of like Matthew McConaughey if Matthew McConaughey didn't have a dime to his name. Captain Greg.
I'll be happy to meet him. I believe lots of the Pettengills are listening right now, so you can say hi to them, including my fiance, who is, even though at work right now, she's still listening. She's a trooper for me.
All kidding aside, Greg does own and run a very incredible dive shop in the Virgin Islands, but yeah, But back to my book. It's all exactly. in the book, people. Party Like a Rock Star. Party Like a Rock Lobster. That'll be his book.
That's perfect. So, JT, just to kind of wrap up here with you, yep, the book is available everywhere you can get it. Party Like a Rock Star. If there was just, you know, if you were to make one sales pitch to people, whether they're a songwriter or not, about the book, what, you know, what would it be?
Well, people, total strangers from all over the world have been writing me saying, I love all of the 80s references in your book. They don't even talk about the songwriting part so much. They just say, I love the story. I was adopted. I ended up meeting my biological father, who turned out to be really wild. So there's that in there. Mm-hmm. I also lost a brother when I was in seventh grade. He was actually Captain Greg's best friend. So that's in there. I think people just, if you just, I don't know, if you just want a book that makes you laugh. People say, I laughed, I cried, and then I laughed. So if you just want a good book to hopefully inspire you, it's tough. This is not a great sales pitch. I'm just very, very proud of it. And I just can't wait for everyone to read it. I just think everyone's going to get a huge kick out of it, and I think everyone will see themselves in it, especially if you're working towards something and it's not working out. Just keep going, because all of this failure and all these wrong turns in the music business just kept leading me towards my dream, and I didn't know it at the time.
It's a great book. It is Brad approved. So you can take that as far as you want to take it.
Cover.
Yeah, put that on there that it's there. And for people here in Northeast Michigan, he mentions writing in Long Lake. So you can talk about that too.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
By the way, you know, and so it took me a few years to write this. So during quarantine, I would go up to my cottage outside of Lewiston.
Oh.
And I almost said Gaylord. But yeah, so I'd be pacing around, and my brother was like, what's up with you? And I'm like, I'm writing a book. I'm trying to make it. And he was like, what do you mean you're writing a book? So, yeah, the Northern Michigan air is in the pages of this book, for sure.
It's all there. You can get it wherever you get your books. Party Like a Rock Star by Nashville songwriter J.T. Harding. J.T., it's a great book. It was a great conversation. I really appreciate you taking some time. Who knows? Maybe we can meet some point down the road.
Oh, for sure. Let me know. I'd come to the studio, play a few songs. And you know what? WKJC. You should call it We Kick Just Country. Yeah, baby. Thanks so much, everybody. JT Harding, thanks to the country fans. Party Like a Rock Star. The book is out now.
Woohoo! Yep.